It's good to be here this morning. It's good. Thankful for Brother Chris for inviting me down to be here. I don't get the opportunity much to come back anymore. Glad to have my son Baker with me this weekend. I was able to show him around town, places I grew up, some of the faces that I've grown to love over the years, and just appreciate the opportunity to be with Brother Michael and Brother Danny, and receive words of wisdom to help me in my growth in the ministry. I ask you to continue to pray for me and my family, but ask you to specifically pray for the service this morning. This is all we got today. And the Lord can answer in a heartbeat. He can wait till the time is right. But I know if we're not praying this morning, I say we pray right now to the Heavenly Father that He'll bless us with His Spirit just for a few minutes here today. Yesterday's gone. We ain't promised tomorrow what we have today. And we've chosen a good thing. Like we heard it yesterday, we've chosen a good thing to be here this morning, to come to the house of God to worship the true and living God. I'm telling you, there's no better place here on earth. You know, we went to Busch Gardens, but they say Disney World is the most wonderful place on the earth. I'm telling you, right here this morning is the most wonderful place in all the earth. I'm telling you, when you come before a holy God, I tell you, 20 years ago, my mother wrote, my parents always told us growing up in school, you know, that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He what? He shall direct thy path. As sure as a promise of God, He will direct it. He ain't going to think about it. He will direct your path. And they gave that to us all our life growing up. It's such a wonderful verse. It's hard to, you know, it's easy to memorize, but it's hard to do. But I'm telling you, it meant a lot to me. She wrote me a letter 20 years ago, and it had that start of the letter. At times I was going through a lot of trouble. You know, I wasn't always the saint by far. A lot of you know that. But I'm telling you, the Lord has been with me. And that verse has been a lot. She also wrote Isaiah chapter 41 in verse 10. And I want to read from that this morning and go to a few spots where the Lord is our strength and our song. You know, the children of Israel, when they came out of the Red Sea, they sang the song of Moses, and the Lord was their strength. And the Lord is the strength of His children for a lot of people, but He's not their song. It's not their song. It was for Israel that day when they came across. The Lord is my strength and my song. I want us to go forward in the days ahead with not only the Lord being our strength and salvation, but the Lord to be our song. It's wonderful to sing unto the Lord. I love the Primitive Baptists singing a cappella all together in one accord, singing praises to the Lord, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We're not making melody for you to praise me on the back. We're making melody in our hearts. Only the Lord can do that. You understand that this morning? Only the Lord can bless you. Only the Lord can make you make melody in your heart to the Lord. Make Him your song. He's not only your strength, but He needs to be our song. In Isaiah 41:10, my mom wrote this when I was going through much trouble. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. He is with thee. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise of God. It's for sure. A lot of people will leave you high and dry here in this world as soon as you let them down. It don't take much to let the man down. I'm telling you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That is a promise of God. Be not dismayed. There's a lot of things that just cause us to be dismayed, to discourage us. COVID, I mean, you go back as far as you want to. There's a lot of discouragement in this. You know, you watch the news, and I'm discouraged right away. I tell you, it don't take much to put up on my phone to be discouraged. But when you sink your eyes into the Word of God and you make God your song, not only your strength, I'm telling you, you can be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen thee. That's where Paul's strength was. In God, it wasn't in himself. He knew how to be, you know, abased. He knew how to abound. He knew how to be hungry. I never knew how to be full. He learned all those things. He knew how to be full. He knew how to be hungry. Baker, he don't know how to be full. Us boys growing up, we never knew how to be full, but Paul had to learn some things. He said, God is my strength. He needs to be not only your strength, but your song. When you wake up in the morning and receive the new mercies of the Lord, I'm telling you, I want to sing. I love the singing of the hymns. I love to hear it all day. My kids, I'll turn on Grace Alone. I'll listen to Pandora or Spotify and listen to gospel music and gospel songs, and they're like, why do you listen to that all the time? I wake up in the morning, they'll hear it in my pocket. I don't want to hear any other trash out there. Amen. I want to be filled with the Spirit all day long. That's the only thing that makes me happy. That's really, I want to be in tune with the Lord. I want Him to be my song. I don't want to listen to all this. I grew up listening to all kind of stuff. I mean, all kind of stuff. And I just think, wow, you know, all that time, he could have been my song. Times of despair, they didn't give me nothing. I was received nothing from all that. And you say, oh, you're being a little harsh, Brother Tim. I'm telling you, the faster you can get away from that, and the Lord can be your song. I'm telling you, you're on the right path. I'm telling you. He says, yeah, I will help thee. He's a very present help in time of need. When we need Him the most, He's there. Somebody else may not be there. They may not pick up the phone. They may not, you know, return your email, your text, and you're like, what's going on? The Lord is always there at every hour of the night. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, Paul doing something good. You know, he got rid of the soothsayer. They got thrown in prison. What were they doing at midnight? They were praying and what? And singing. I'd have been singing the blues. I'm telling you, I would have been praying. I'd have been in deep prayer. Silas, let's get down and go to the Lord. We are in a bad place. I don't know about singing at that time, but they were singing. The Lord was their salvation. He was their strength, and He was their song at midnight in a dark place in their life at that time in that prison. I mean, it was dark. That's what they were going through. And Paul was just trying to do right. He was with his brother, and they sang unto the Lord. That's amazing, I tell you. It's amazing grace. That's why I come to church. I love to get here and sing the songs of Zion. I tell you, you know, the Lord can be your, not only your strength, but your song. You know, I look at, in 2 Chronicles, you know, I'm not like my dad. You know, I can't just put my book up here and read to you. Okay, that's one thing He didn't give me. He gave me bald hair, bad knees. He did not give me, you know, a laser sharp mind. So, you know, if you like to turn in the Bible and read along, feel free to this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you got the story of Jehoshaphat, and he's going up against the Moabites. And, you know, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He served the Lord. He did a lot of things for the kingdom. But, oh, no, he has to go into affinity with Ahab, you know. He's like anybody else. There's only one perfect man that ever walked in the face of the earth, and that's our Jesus Christ. You know, for when we were out strength, He died for the ungodly. That's, you know, that's a doctrinal point. We had no strength. Man by nature cannot come to God. God didn't look down in time and see everybody who was going to persevere, who was going to hear the gospel. It's nonsense. I'm telling you, we were saved by Christ alone. In Him alone who we were saved. When we were out strength, we didn't have nothing to give. Nothing at all. Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for the perseverant man of God. That's not who He died for. He died for the ungodly. I'm telling you, we were ungodly. We had no strength. That's zero. You know, sometimes you do some stuff and you're like, I just ran out of strength. We didn't have nothing. You know what that means? We didn't have anything to give. He died for the ungodly. And Jehoshaphat was going up against this. And now he did a lot of things good. He went into, had a slip of mind. Sometimes you ever get that way? You're like, I have no clue why I did that. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what he was thinking. I know David, you know, throughout the Bible, you know, and you have Samson. Boy, he got himself in a pickle. You know, do you ever get yourself in a pickle? Well, these men do. These are mighty men of God. They are just like you and I. God gave us these stories, and they're real life stories, and there's something we can hold against. These are mighty men who had I don't know what happened. You know, everything was going really good, and here we go. You know, it happened to David time and time again. He listened, he counted the people of Israel. You know, he had the run in with Bathsheba. You know, these strong men, you know, he went up against Goliath, and then he had, you know, I'm telling you, the Lord is your strength and your song. You can go through this life. In the dark times, you can look to the Lord. And look at this. I just want to read a little bit here, and I'll sit down. And he goes up against the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they're coming up against him. And Jehoshaphat reaches out to the Lord. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not the God in heaven, and rulest over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thy hand is thine power and might. That's strength. And strength we have in the Lord. And he has all power in heaven and earth. He's given him power, you know, of all the earth. As the election, he chose a people. He died for a people. He's going to resurrect us one day in the glorification. That's all by the mighty power of God, the power in creation, the power in, you know, regeneration. You know what that regeneration means? You know, you have three generations. You got my father, you got me, you got my son. That's called generation. I heard it on the radio the other day. I thought it was well said. You know, a regeneration is that being born again spiritually. That's a natural generation. A regeneration is a spiritual born again, that quickening. I tell you, Jehoshaphat went up and he pleads to the Lord. And it goes on down to verse 22. He says, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might. We have no strength. We don't have any strength against the devil. Don't go up against the devil. We're supposed to resist the devil. I'm telling you, he will tear you up. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he will do it in a heartbeat if you lead into him. Turn off that trash and turn on the gospel. I'm telling you, turn on the good news and the glad tidings of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what Paul told him. He said, I don't want you to know anything else. I don't care that you know anything else. You know, I think that'd be a really good place when he told them, church of Corinth, you know, if eternal salvation is the one true thing that we all desire. What is the key? You know, what shall I do to be saved? That's the most greatest question that ever went forth. I think Paul would have been like, I don't want you to know anything else but perseverance. I don't want you to know anything else but being baptized. Everything that the world promotes, give your heart to God. No, God gave his son to you. Amen. That's what it's all about. He said, I don't want you to know anything else than Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. Know the person and know what he did for you and for me. I mean, he could have said anything. Paul knew a lot about the law. He knew everything more than anybody. I mean, he could talk it up and down all around better than my dad with it closing the Bible. I mean, he could just let it rip, Chip. you would think, you know, you would think he would have said anything, if the most important thing, and he said it. He said it. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And the Lord sent a spirit. I'm telling you, the Lord sends angels all the time. Yeah, I believe in angels. I believe he works in mighty ways. In time of need, he's there for you. He manifests himself in a way. I tell you, he sent a spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken ye all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, listen up. It's coming. This is the story of the gospel right here in a nutshell. And thou kingdom, thy King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed. Boy, I'm telling you, it was shaky ground. Here are these enemies coming up. You look, you do some things, and you're like, man, what did I do to deserve this? You know, it's just natural you to think, where did I take a misstep? Now all this is coming upon me. You know, where did I go wrong? I thought I was doing everything right. I'm coming to the church. I'm tithing. I'm bringing lunch. I'm showing up early. You know, you start, you know, ramification. You know, all of our, you know, righteousness is in Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. He said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It never was your battle. Do you understand that this morning? It was never your battle. God sent forth his son because there was none to help. He treaded the winepress alone. There was none to help. By his own right arm, he brought salvation. Amen. Nobody else. There's no other way. Not through the gospel. It shines the light on eternal life and immortality through the gospel. It doesn't bring immortality. It says the battle is not yours. It's God's. I told him earlier today, I said, speaking in, Tennessee Tim 101, I said, I got you. That's what the God's saying. I got you. It's not your battles. You're not even going to have to lift a finger, Jehoshaphat. You're not even going to have to do anything. The battle is is mine. It's not yours. Salvation is not yours. It's mine. I brought salvation with my right arm, my right-hand man. I got you, brother. I got you. And it goes on down. And, when they came out of Egypt, and they made the Lord their strength and their song. And they sang the song of Moses. And what's amazing is, it goes down and says, verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. It was God's strength. Paul said, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God was his strength. He's your strength. He's my strength. He's something I can go to for strength. He's our spiritual strength. He's the strength of Israel, Samuel said to, you know, the king there, King Saul. It's the capital S you see there in Samuel chapter 15. He's our strength. I'm telling you, I love it. I love it. You know, I'm weak by nature. I'm weak as a wet paper bag. You know, if they call me, I'm telling you, if they look at me and they call old Jonah sleeper, you know, they may call old Tim brother weeper. I'm not apologizing for getting teary when the Lord was made poor that I may become rich. If that don't make you tear up. I remember being down here years ago during communion service, and I seen these grown men as a little child in communion washing each other's feet. I say humbling themselves before an almighty God and before their brother, and grown men, strong men in my life, start tearing up and the tears start flowing. But I know the Lord's strength, and one day he'll wipe away all those tears by the Lord. He can do it. I'm not going to apologize for getting teary-eyed. I may just be teary-eyed the rest of my ministry. I don't know. I've asked myself that plenty of times. But they left Israel singing a song. Here, Jehoshaphat, before the battles ever takes place, listen to what he does. It ain't happened yet, but they were sure on the promise of God. They wouldn't have to lift a finger. The battle's not yours. The battle's not mine. It's not yours, Brother Chris. It's the Lord's. Take it to the Lord. Make him your strength and your song. He's there for you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. All the promises of God are yea and amen. We can count on that. I can go to him. I can sing in the morning. I can sing to him. Good night. I'm telling you, it's glorious. In verse 21, a second, it says, Jehoshaphat, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. We get to come together. Earlier in that chapter, it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we not have no might against the great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. We don't know what to do. We don't have any might. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. That's where our focus needs to be. If you be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, he told the Colossians. Set your affections on things above. Our eyes are upon thee. That's where all our spiritual blessings come from heavenly places. That's where he has set us. And he said, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I love the Primitive Baptist because we meet together with our wives and our children and our children's children and whoever else comes together. We all meet together in one accord, breaking bread under the sweet gospel music, singing songs of praise and adoration. I'm telling you, they all met together, and Jehoshaphat consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the people and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm telling you, he's my strength. He's all I stand in need of. You know, Paul said in Corinthians chapter 1, he had gone through a lot. Paul, like I said, he was willing to die to get the word out, to set up churches. He was willing to be, he got stoned and shipwrecked. I mean, Paul went through a great deal. And read with me real quick and I'll sit down, get out of the way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul wanted them to know, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble that came to us in Asia. I'm telling you, they were sore oppressed. They needed to rely on the book of Isaiah. The things written aforetime were written for our learning. We might have hope. I'm telling you, he relied on this. He wanted them to know, don't be ignorant. Don't, you know, we came to a lot of trouble in Asia, and we were oppressed out of measure, above strength.
It was above their strength. They were pressed without measure. He treaded the winepress alone for you and for me. Here he's going out trying to get out the good news and glad tidings of the gospel, and he's letting them know he's went through a lot. They were pressed without measure, above strength, and so much that we would despair even of life. It was life and death on that road. And the martyrs that went before us, it was a life and death. It was their strength and their song. I'm telling you, they went to the grave because God was their song. Not only their strength and salvation and reconciliation and justification, but he was their song. He said we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Remember what we read this morning? Trust not in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. It's very easy to lean on my own understanding, thinking I've got it, man. I've crossed my T's and dotted my I's. I know every time I get up here to try to preach the gospel, I need the Lord's strength. I tell you, you get up here and you sit down and you figure out what just happened. You know the Lord wasn't with you. You were weak, weak in the knees, weak everywhere. He said, but in God which raiseth the dead, we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Don't trust in Brother Chris and Brother Michael, Brother Danny, whoever stands in here. Trust in the living God. Amen. That's who we need to put our trust in. That's where our strength is. And that's definitely where our song is. He says, and raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver. In whom we trust will yet deliver us. He delivered us on the cross of Calvary. He paid the sin debt. And he delivers us now. That's what salvation means. It's a deliverance. A deliverance from something to something. He delivered us at some great a death. And he delivers us today at everything we stand in need of as our strength. And one glorious and final day, he will yet deliver us. That is for sure. That is a promise that you can count on. Let's make God our strength and our song. Praise the Lord. I love singing the songs of Zion. I'm telling you, it warms the heart. When they were on the road back to Emmaus, and they said they're burning in their heart walking with the Lord. When you hear everybody come together, make a melody in their hearts, there should be a burning there. We're singing to the Lord. Thank you for your attention.